Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Lord willing, this will be the next to the last message out of this particular time of going through Hebrews. I'd like to look at one verse of Scripture, verse 22, Hebrews 13, 22. The writer to the Hebrews says, "And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words." Let's pray together. Our Father, this evening I pray, would you bless the word to our hearts? Lord, would you bless the preaching of your gospel? I pray, Lord, that we might hear and behold Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. We were talking a few moments ago in the study. Brother Neil brought something up that I thought was very good. It's not recorded who wrote the book of Hebrews. I personally think it was the Apostle Paul, based on Peter saying, telling the Jews one time, he said, talking about the letter that Paul had written to the Jews. And this was the only letter that is recorded in Scripture, written to the Jews. I personally think, but also that Paul was a Hebrew. He was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And he knew where these Hebrews were coming from. And so he tells these Hebrews. And this is I want to look at this verse right here. But this phrase right here, suffer the word of exhortation. What Paul is saying to these Hebrews is this: believe the word that has been preached to you and persevere. Suffer the word of exhortation. Persevere amidst all of the temptations which exists for you to apostatize. Resist it. These Hebrews were converted. These are believers. And they were converted out of the shadows of the law, out of the types of the law. And we've got to remember, now these Hebrews, they came up under the law that was given by God. This law was not something that just was made. They had been given the law 1,500 years before. But that law that was given by the Lord was never intended to give life. Never. Look at Romans 3:20. The law was not given for life. Romans 3:20 says this: therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. What was the purpose of the law? If you want to know what the purpose of the law is, here it is right here. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Why was the law given? Almighty God gave the law to show his people their need of Christ. There's nothing wrong with the law. We've said that before. The law is holy and just and good. It's God's word. It's the expression of God's character. But a man can't keep it. It's impossible. Well, now, having been converted and called out of that synagogue, called out from under that law, under those shadows and types, these Hebrews were now persecuted and now excluded. You've left, you're excluded from the synagogue. That's a sentence of death as far as the Jews are concerned. You left the synagogue? These Hebrews had been called out of darkness, and they needed some encouragement. So here the Spirit of God, through the writer to Hebrews, I believe Paul sends this word to these Hebrews, and by that word gives them what they desperately need. Some assurance and some comfort. Paul begins and he says, I beseech you, brethren. Here was the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm writing this to console you. I'm speaking to you as a brother. Bear, endure the word of comfort. Concerning the Lord that you've trusted. Now the theme, if I were to pick out one word, you know what I'm about to say. One word that would sum up what Paul had been saying in the whole book of Hebrews. Better. Better. He set forth to these Hebrews concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that they had trusted. He's better. Better than the angels. He made them. He's brought in a better hope. Here's the hope that the law gave you. You obey and have life. He brought in a better hope. He's obeyed and you have life in Him. He's brought in a better hope, and He's the surety of a better testament. That testament, this is the New Testament, my blood. What He was saying is, here's the payment. Here's the payment. He's brought in a better testament. What they had was the blood of bulls and goats. He brought in a better testament. He shed His own blood. And the Father said, when I see the blood of Christ, the blood of His Son, I'll pass over you. He's the mediator of a better covenant. You're under law. That's what you've come out of. Grace. God's grace. Unmerited favor. Grace. So He's the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. That was temporary. It lasted 1,500 years, but it ended. Our priest ever liveth to make intercession. So Paul says, I'm beseeching you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. For I've written a letter unto you in a few words. Now this is one of the longer of the letters that Paul had written. But the meaning of what he had said was this, in comparison to the importance of what I've written to you, in comparison to the difficulty of the subjects that I've dealt with, and what you were raised under, and what you've been taught, comparatively speaking, I've just used a few words. Remember, these are converted Jews called out of darkness, called out of that so-called salvation by works. And now they're suffering. They're being pressured. Pressured by their unbelieving friends and family. what? Go back. Go back. Back to the law, back to the rituals, back to yourself, back to the darkness. And they needed some comfort. They needed some consoling. They needed some encouragement, just like us. I wouldn't do anything in the world to embarrass my mother, but I'm going to use my mom as a example. When my mother came out of Roman Catholicism, all of her family, all of them, Catholics, been Catholics all their life. And my grandmother, that I remember, that she'd come over to our house, and I can remember my grandmother, and she'd say her prayers, and she'd pray the rosary, and I remember we always, you know, Mom always told us, you know, you kids got to be quiet, you know, Grandma's praying and stuff, and she'd pray the rosary. And when my mother left the Roman Catholic Church, my grandma went to her grave grieving, believing that my mom had no hope, that she'd left the only hope of salvation. Mark, you know what I'm talking about. She had left. She was now excommunicated. You've apostatized. And these Hebrews had come out. They'd come out from under the law, under those rituals and rules. And when they came out, that was a conviction to those that stayed. They trusted Christ. And I know this, the Lord keeps His own. I know that. That's an absolute fact. But they were still in this body of death. And the flesh, that old man. Believers believe God. But they're not presumptuous. They're diligent to make their calling and election sure. They make much of the means of God's grace. There's not a believer in this room tonight that doubts for one second that Almighty God is going to keep him until the day of Jesus Christ. You don't doubt that one second. You know whom you've believed. And you're persuaded that He's able to keep that which you've committed unto Him against that day. But I'll tell you this. You will make much of the means of God's grace. You'll be where God's Word is preached. You will pray. I think it was, I want to say it was Richard Baxter. If I'm wrong, I'll correct me later. It's okay. But one of the old-time writers, he said, sooner would a natural man not breathe than a spiritual man not pray. A believer will cry unto the Lord. He'll find that secret place. He'll find that closet, wherever it is. By himself somewhere, and he's going to call on the Lord. And he'll search the Scriptures. There's not a believer that does not make much of the Scriptures. Reading the Scriptures, praying, crying unto the Lord, hearing the gospel preached, and believing all the while as he's striving to enter in at the straight gate, I know whom I have believed. My Lord shall keep me. These Hebrews were just like us. They were sinners saved by the grace of God, and they needed some comfort. You come here, you know what you want tonight? Tell me one more time how the Lord's put away my guilt. Tell me one more time, because of the struggles of this old flesh, Paul says, suffer the word of exhortation. Strive against the temptation to apostatize. They needed, first of all, to hear that what the Lord Jesus Christ had done. Turn with me to Hebrews 1. I'm going to just show you a few scriptures here. When Paul says suffer the word of exhortation, we've gone through a whole book, 13 chapters. And I've just picked out a few verses out of this where he was teaching them to believe the comfort that you've been taught by the Spirit of God. They needed to hear that what the Lord Jesus Christ had done in the redemption of his people. He did as God's servant, God's prophet, God's spokesman, and he finished the work of redemption. They needed to hear that. That it was finished. Why? 1,500 years they've been doing the same thing, Carl. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Paul was telling these Hebrews, suffer the word of exhortation. Hear, bear with, believe it. Believe the word of comfort that's been preached to you. I know the temptations you have to leave. I know the pressure that people put under you. I know that the flesh will tell you it would be easier just go back. Just give in. It'd be easier if you just didn't say anything. Paul says, don't bow to that temptation. Consider the dignity of his person. He's the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. It means you take something, you press something into clay or something, you take it out, and there's the very image of the mold here. There it is, right there. There it is. He is the express image of his person. Our Lord said, you see me, you've seen the Father. I can't understand the depth of that. Three persons set forth one God. He said, you see me. At his baptism, he was baptized. The Spirit of God descended and the Father spoke. One God. And the dignity of his power. Paul told him he's upholding all things by the word of his power. He upholds what he made. And the apostle told him when he had by himself purged our sins. I know this. I know that, and I believe that when he had by himself put away. And I by the grace of God, I'm convinced that God's taught me that it's not by works of righteousness that I've done. I know the Lord's taught me that. I know that I am not maintained daily by anything that I do. I know that faith cometh by hearing. I know, but I need to be told that again. Tell me again. They needed to hear it, and I need to hear it. Tell me one more time how he by himself. And where does that leave me? Where does that leave you? When he had by himself purged our sins. when he had given himself, Isaac said to Abraham, "Father, here's the fire, here's the wood, where's the lamb?" My son, God will provide himself a lamb. When he had by himself the provision of God for his people, purged our sins, he sat down. He sat down. It was finished. It was over. And those Hebrews needed to hear that, and again, we do too. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, having accomplished redemption for his sheep through the shedding of his own blood. And after he had laid down his life, buried, raised, he ascended into heaven as the forerunner of his sheep to rightfully claim as the obedient servant of God, the man, Christ Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus, God, fully man, the man, Christ Jesus, was taken up into heaven, received into heaven. And Almighty God said to His beloved Son, who is right now in the very nature in which those apostles saw Him, everybody else too, in flesh, is seated on the right hand of power and dignity. And they needed to hear that. Paul told them, justice has been satisfied. The debt is paid. When he had by himself purged our sins, they're gone, they're gone. I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. Endure with this word of comfort. Christ has by himself purged the sins of his people. He told them, secondly, that what he did one time. Now Paul's going to tell them about the oneness of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I hinted at it a while ago, because of the continual sacrifices that they and their fathers had witnessed and trusted in. Look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 1-7. Again, listen, now you think about this. Here they are. They're sinners saved by the grace of God. Think about what their flesh tells them. Think about what their families tell them. Think about what Satan insinuates to them. Hebrews 10. Now, they have. Paul is telling them. He said, listen now. I'm telling you, you hear this word of comfort. You, in the midst of the temptation to apostatize, you listen to me. The Lord Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of all the shadows and types, He came as God's servant and He purged our sins. And He did it with one sacrifice. 1,500 years, as I said, they'd been watching the blood of bulls and goats sacrificed day after day. I mean, you go back and read of those sacrifices. They killed thousands and thousands and thousands. I mean, it was unbelievable how much blood was shed. What he told them is this: I'm telling you this for your comfort. It's over. He suffered one time, Hebrews 10, 1-7. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? If the blood of bulls and goats put away sin, why keep offering them? Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. If the blood of bulls and goats put it away, then it would have been over. Why do it? Once they had been purged. But in those sacrifices, because it was over and over and over again, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Because they kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. It's telling you, this is not putting away sin. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it's written of me, do thy will, O God. Now here was a word of comfort and promise. He has come and he has put away the sins of his people. When I came up, I was, not only was I Roman Catholic for a while, and I got into another false religion. And as I said before, it's just one out of the frying pan into the fire. It's just six of one, half dozen of the other. It's just whatever. And if you got saved, you walked down the aisle and you prayed the sinner's prayer and repeat after me and everything. But then there'd be times and you'd kind of slip away. And what we'd have is I'd have to come down, go down for rededication. I'd have to kind of re-up. That's the only way I know how to say it. When you in the military, you just re-up. But if you're not, things are not going well for you, and you hadn't been what you ought to be, and you come down for rededication, and get your life right again with God. And it was like shedding the blood over and over and over, and it never put away sins. I was still looking right here. It was me. I was not looking to him. It was my profession of faith and my rededication and my this and my that. It is not possible that these rituals, the blood of bulls and goats, should take away sin. But this man, Paul told him, one sacrifice for sin, and he's put away the guilt of his people. And thirdly, Paul told him what he did as the Savior and the substitute for all of his people. Hebrews, I'll read this to you. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, and listen to these next few words, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. That he, by the grace of God. Not God looking to me to satisfy God. God satisfied himself. And that is a great comfort to me. God Almighty satisfied himself. As Brother Scott used to say, the Lord God had to do something for himself before he'd do anything for us. And that's right. God Almighty had to be just to justify a sinner. And he did it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told him what he did. He did as the Savior and substitute for his people. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Not me. I'm not crowned with glory and honor for my works. My works, filthy rags. But by the grace of God, he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. What? Taste death for every man without exception? Well, you know it can't mean that. Not if the Lord Jesus Christ said, I lay down my life for the sheep, then told the Pharisees, he said, you don't believe me because you're not my sheep. I mean, that was very distinguishing. That's in John 10. You can read that. That's in John 10. He told those Pharisees, he said, you're not my sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's what Paul told him. He tasted death. He endured it personally for every man, meaning all the heirs of salvation. That's Hebrews 1:14. Jew and Gentile. That's what he was telling these Gentiles. See, they came out of the Jewish economy of religion, said there's no salvation for a Gentile. When Paul told him he died for his people, he died for every man, every type of man. You know, you're going to have to, you can't take one scripture and just pull it out and just say, see there, he died when the Lord said, I laid down my life for the sheep. I died for those that you've given me. Your will is that all that the Father hath given me, I should lose none. You have to take everything he said to qualify that statement right there. He died for everyone that the Father had given him. And then lastly, he told these Hebrews what he did it perfectly. Did it one time, he did it perfectly. Back in closing in Hebrews 10, verses 11 to 14. He did it perfectly. This is so beautiful. Listen to these beautiful words. Hebrews 10, 11 to 14. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Now just think about what he just said. Consider their position, their posture. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never, never, never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Paul says to those Hebrews that needed some comfort, suffer, believe this word of exhortation, this word of comfort. God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one in whom you trust, I know the pressure you're under. I know that Paul was a Hebrew. He knew. You know, we grow in grace. But you know, growing in grace, and it is through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, but you don't know anything if you hadn't experienced it. You don't know anything. You don't know. I told you a while ago, and Gabe called me a while ago the other day, Gary, and he told me what he did, and when I heard the word lymphoma. But you know what? I told him, I said, Gabe, the Lord's grace is sufficient. I knew what it felt like. Paul knew what it felt like. He knew the pressure. He knew the trials and tribulations that these believers were going through. And he talked to them as a brother. I want to do that. I want to be faithful, comfort God's people. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.